Welcome. My name is Carl Middlebrooks. Today we'll discuss deployment features and tools for Windows Server 2008. In this session, we'll cover a broad range of deployment resources. We'll discuss how the deployment of operating systems will be enabled by the new generation of deployment technologies, such as the new Windows Deployment Services role, which is built into the new Microsoft Windows Server 2008. We'll see how the new version of Windows Deployment Services, or WDS, utilizes the WIM installation image and has a simple interface to make over-the-wire deployment of operating systems more viable. Another new tool that will soon be available for IT teams is the upcoming System Center Configuration Manager, or SCCM, Operating System Deployment Pack. For larger or more complex installations, SCCM offers features like monitoring tools and a task sequencer. We'll also introduce the new Solution Accelerator for Windows Server Deployment, or WSD. Like the previous WSD Solution Accelerator, WSD in Windows Server 2008 will include guidance and documentation. In addition, WSD will build on the applications that are included in the Business Desktop Deployment 2007 Solution Accelerator that help to build and maintain images. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of knowledge that is helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To assist you, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. We'll start out by outlining the deployment challenges that IT departments face. If you've used the tools included in previous versions of Windows, such as Windows Remote Installation Service and the Automated Deployment Services, that's helpful. In addition, we'll show some of the deployment features in SCCM. It will be helpful to have used the previous version of SCCM, Systems Management Server 2003. To cover the topics mentioned on the earlier slide and to keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. We're going to break this session into three agenda items. First, we'll see the new features of Windows Server 2008 that are present when we deploy the operating system. Windows Server 2008, like Windows Vista, was built from the ground up with deployment in mind. The result is a lower cost for migrating to Windows Server 2008 and a lower cost for ownership. The new features include the WIM image format, Windows Deployment Services role, and the Windows Automated Installation Kit. Then we'll look at more complex deployment strategies that will involve additional deployment tools such as the SCCM Operating System Deployment or OSD Feature Pack. Microsoft has expanded on the capabilities of System Center deployment and worked to simplify use of the OSD. It has deeper access to the operating system as well as centralized management and reporting, which is appealing to many demanding organizations looking to control server as well as desktop images. Under the third agenda item, we'll talk about deployment best practices. The new deployment features are designed around a set of best practices included in the WSD Solution Accelerator. We can use the tools in a variety of ways to suit organizations of different sizes and needs. First, let's look at the new deployment features of Windows Server 2008. Deploying a new operating system can be an expensive proposition. In the past, the cost of deploying new desktop and server operating systems was often a significant barrier to adoption. In addition, organizations that try to maintain a standard image have found it very time-consuming to manage a single image that will work for all platforms, hardware, and applications in the environment. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista are both designed with deployment in mind. Several new features and tools are available with the new Microsoft operating systems that will make the operating systems easier to deploy and standard images easier to maintain. Central to the new deployment tools is the Windows Server 2008 operating system itself. Windows Server 2008, like Windows Vista, is made up of separate components. A component is a unit of distribution with servicing and binding characteristics. Components contain the files, registry settings, and dependency definitions for their features. Service packs are provided as components which can be added to an image offline. Windows Server 2008 is also language neutral. New language packs, which are also components, can be added to an image at any time. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista are also delivered in the Windows Image Format, or WIM. A WIM file is a compressed file that can be read and modified offline. An operating system packaged in the WIM format can be installed to a hard drive without losing other data on that drive. A single WIM file can contain multiple images without growing significantly as it uses single-instance storage algorithms. New drivers or components can be added offline. These days, administrators who need to make a change in their image must load it onto a computer, alter it, and recreate the image, even if they just need to add a network card driver. With an OS packaged in a WIM file, we can just mount the image, browse to the drivers directory, and copy the new driver into the image. This brings up another advantage of the WIM format. It's hardware agnostic. Companies who try to maintain a standard image are often troubled by trying to keep images that work on all of their different hardware. A WIM can be completely hardware neutral. Because it's a highly compressed image, WIMs make network deployment more viable. Windows Server 2008 can be deployed over the wire to blank hard drives on bare metal computers. Using the Preboot Execution Environment, or PXE, Trivial File Transfer Protocol, or TFTP, and the RAMDisk Windows PE, an administrator can automate light touch or zero touch deployment of operating systems. Deployment considerations went into the design of Windows Server 2008. As a result, a new role is available for servers, Windows Deployment Services. The WDS role installs the PXE and TFTP servers as a management console to build, manage, and maintain images. The WDS role is an improvement on Windows Remote Installation Services. Windows 2000 Server and Windows Server 2003 Remote Installation Services, RIS, is retired with the advent of Windows Server 2008. WDS includes RIS legacy support. Although RI Prep and RI Setup do not currently work with Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008, you can still use these commands with your pre-existing images. As opposed to RIS, WDS includes native support for Windows PE as a boot operating system. WDS unifies on a single image format, taking advantage of the new WIM file format. By taking advantage of the new features, PXE boot, the WIM format, and the WDS MMC, we can lower the cost and pain of adopting a new operating system both for servers and desktop computers. Our deployments are now more possible across a network. That means less staff time spent in the field. Recent surveys of operating system deployments have shown that an organization can save hundreds of dollars per computer by moving to a lighter touch deployment strategy. When we perform upgrades using WDS, the deployment is going to be less expensive, faster, and less intrusive to a business. In addition, WDS reduces the long-term costs associated with maintaining standard company builds. The MMC provides the tools needed to access WIM images and keep them up to date with new service packs, drivers, and other items. Since an installation from a WIM is a hardware neutral, a single WIM image can be used for multiple hardware platforms. Multicast deployment allows Windows operating systems to be deployed to many computers simultaneously while conserving network bandwidth. Windows Deployment Services allows two kinds of multicast deployment. Scheduled cast is for task-based deployment. To use scheduled cast, clients that joined at the start can utilize the multicast stream. Autocast is always available to clients. They can join the multicast stream at any time. Their deployment will be combined together to conserve bandwidth. Once AutoCast is configured for an operating system image, it's enabled until manually stopped. However, the image will only be sent over the network when clients request it. The WDS MMC shows which clients are currently connected and how much of the image each have already received. Now we can look at the WDS interface and set up an image for deployment. The demonstrations in this session will use this environment. Now we'll look at WDS. We'll examine the capabilities of ImageX to modify WIM files. One WIM file can contain multiple images. We can modify the files within the image without having to install the entire image onto a computer. Then we'll use the Windows Server 2008 Windows Deployment Services to rapidly create and deploy operating system images over the network. WDS can be managed using an MMC 3.0 interface or the WDS util command line. One way to make deployment easier and more efficient is to merge image files. When you merge files using ImageX, it utilizes single instancing to save space. For example, our organization has two departments. These departments only need a slightly different configuration, so we can merge the image files so that we don't use up space by storing each image separately. To illustrate how this works, we'll modify one image by adding the marketing information document. Right now, the files Vista Image and Vista Image 2 are identical. When you have a WIM file to use for packages, you can map the contents of the image to a mount directory. After the contents are in the mount directory, you can perform common file operations such as copying, pasting, and editing without extracting or recreating the image. We need to create a folder where ImageX will mount the WIM files. We will name the folder Mount. If you just enter the mount command, ImageX will give you a list of files that are currently mounted. Presently, there aren't any images mounted. We want to mount the WIM file we already created, so we'll use the mount RW command, which will mount the file with read-write permissions. You can also use the mount command, which will mount with read-only permissions. If you wanted to view the contents of a file, you could mount with read-only permissions to avoid making any unwanted changes to the file. When using the mount RW command, 1 is the reference number of the specific volume in the WIM file, and C:\mount is the location of the mount directory. A message indicates that the mount was successful. Now that we've mounted the image, we can view it using a file management tool. In this case, we'll use Windows Explorer so that we can navigate through the actual image file. ImageX is able to almost instantaneously mount contents of the WIM file into the mount directory, even with a full operating system image. You can then view all of the files and folders listed on the WIM image. Because we mounted the file with read-write access, we will be able to edit the files. If we'd mounted with read-only access, we could only view the files. Contoso decided that it needed to add the employee addendum to the image file. Instead of having to recapture the whole image, we can just copy the new file to the WIM file inside Windows Explorer. We're going to copy the employee addendum to the mount folder. After we've made the changes to the WIM file, we can go back into ImageX and commit the changes. We're going to use the unmount and the commit commands together. ImageX will save the file, including the new document we just copied into it, and will remove the image from the mount folder. If you use the unmount command without the commit command, all of the changes you just made will be lost. Don't mount an image in Windows PE because Windows PE reboots every 24 hours and mounted images don't remain mounted during a reboot. If there are changes to commit during a reboot, the changes will be lost. If you were to look in the mount folder again, you would see that the WIM image contents are no longer listed. You can also view the information on the WIM image in ImageX. Now the file count includes the new file that was added. Next, we'll export the Vista image 2 to the Windows Vista image. When you export one image into another, ImageX will take the two separate images and combine them into a single file. These files will be maintained as separate files, but will be stored in a single WIM file. When we view the XML metadata for our vistaimage.wim file, it will now display information for each image. This means that you can easily access information about the individual images no matter how many images are in a single WIM file. Also, when we look at the total size of the combined WIM file compared to the individual sizes of the two images, the combined file is smaller than the individual files. By using both compression and single instancing, you can eliminate redundancy and greatly reduce the space a WIM file occupies. In addition, ImageX will still know if you give identical files different names and will still combine them. This is because the files are hashed to match file to file. Windows Deployment Services can be added to a Microsoft Windows Server 2008 server as a role. There are a few prerequisites to cover. WDS uses Active Directory for authorization and to locate clients. In our demonstration, the domain controller itself has the WDS role installed. This would probably not be a good practice in a real-world environment. The WDS server merely needs to be a member server. Any Active Directory domain and Forest functional level will support WDS. WDS also relies on a working DNS server. It does not currently support IPv6, although the utilities will show IPv6 address ranges. These options are ignored in the present version. We must have a working DHCP server with an active scope on the network. The pre-boot execution environment, or PXE service, that WDS uses to load a boot image relies on DHCP to create connectivity for the client. Once again, we've installed WDS on the same server as the DHCP service. If this is the case, WDS configuration will notify us that we need to configure DHCP to add option tag 60 to all DHCP scopes. This is necessary so that when a computer boots to the PXE environment, it's able to locate the PXE server. If we're using a non-Microsoft DHCP server, we will need to manually configure the option tag 60. This tag does not actually contain the address of the PXE server, just the string PXE client to identify that a PXE server is present. This is a standard PXE configuration. Because the DHCP server is on the same server as WDS, the WDS configuration will also prompt us to disable WDS on port 67, the port on which DHCP listens and responds. Otherwise, we would have a conflict between DHCP and WDS. Naturally, install images are very large files. The WDS server must have a volume large enough to hold the images. That volume must be formatted as NTFS. Images are stored here and categorized in folders for different architectures. We've already added images, so these folders are already populated. For this demonstration, the WDS role has already been installed and configured. We can start setting up our images for deployment. For the deployment server, we configure global settings. For instance, we can determine how much control the administrator has over the client's access to the WDS server. We can disable the PXE boot entirely, respond only to pre-staged Active Directory clients, or approve of each client. We've chosen to allow any client on the network to connect to the WDS server. Use the PXE response delay setting to adjust how quickly the server responds to clients on the network. It sets the amount of time the PXE server waits for other PXE servers to respond. This setting should remain at zero unless there are other PXE responders on the network that require precedence, or if the network requires increased PXE response delay due to slow links. Of course, when a device connects to the network, we need to name it. WDS allows the use of several variables that can be applied to the naming of clients. We will use an incremental 3-digit number to maintain computers within our naming conventions. We can also use username and MAC addresses as part of the naming convention. Take care not to create duplicate names. The incremental number is an easy way to prevent that. The %03# string will create incremental 3-digit numbers at the end of each computer name. We'll add a boot image to our WDS service. The boot.wim file, which is the beta code for Windows Server 2008, is not the actual operating system, just the bootstrap tool to install the operating system. This boot.wim file can be used for the deployment of Windows Vista as well as Windows Server 2008, or even Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP operating systems. Do not use the boot.wim file provided with the Windows Vista media, as some WDS features such as multicasting will not be available. To clarify that this is our custom boot image, usable for several operating system deployments, we will change the name to Contoso WDS Boot. The boot image will take about a minute to copy into the repository. We configured a network share on the WDS server called Remote Install. This will contain all the WDS data, including images, drivers, and unattend files. The boot image is divided into the component processors that it supports. This is a chance to see how the new operating system's component architecture looks. This directory contains the US English language install pack. Languages can be added to existing installation without modifying other elements of the installation at any time. Although this is not that relevant to a boot image, the same concept applies to full installations. The boot image process has completed by now, and the image is available to WDS clients. Now that we have a Windows PE boot image, we can create other types of bootable images that we can use in our long-term deployment strategy. A Discover image is a Windows Deployment Services aware boot image that can be copied to a CD. If PXE boot services are not available, we can boot a client machine from the CD. The client will then be directed to the WDS server and perform the same setup as a PXE booted server. We can also create a capture image. A capture image is used to create a WIM from a sysprep prepared machine. After we've created our reference workstation or server and run sysprep on it, we can boot to a captured boot image. Many of the features of WDS that we perform from the MMC can also be run from the command line. This includes the ability to add images to the image stores. WDS util, the deployment services command line, can be used to, among other things, view image properties or export an image from the store. We'll use it to add a capture image that we had previously created. we will use the add image switch, specifying the file path and whether it was a boot image or an install image. While that capture image is loading, we can look at another feature of WDS. Windows Deployment Services is backwards compatible with Windows Remote Installation Services, or RIS. If we had any RIS Prep or RI Prep images that we wanted to continue to use, we could install them on a reference computer and then use our new capture image to make a new image. Alternately, for RI Prep images, we can use WDS to automatically convert them. The MMC and the WDS util command line tool are both capable of converting RI Prep images to WIM files. The new boot image has been loaded now. By adding a second boot image to the store, a boot menu will automatically be created so that the client can select what act to perform when PXE booting from the WDS server. A WDS deployment, like all WIM deployments, can be configured to use a single unattend file. This is a departure from Windows XP, which required multiple INI and INF files, as well as setup.exe switches. However, using WDS requires two different unattend.xml files. The first, a global unattend file for the server, allows us to specify settings such as domain credentials, which image the install will default to, and which volume and partition to use. We created an unattend file in advance. The client unattend file is used to automate the Windows Deployment Services client user interface screens, such as entering credentials, specifying an install image, and configuring the disks. Before we can point WDS to it, we can look at some of the settings that we can specify in the XML file. The image name is the name of the default image that will be installed when the unattend file is engaged. A new and very welcome feature of deployment with WDS and WIM images is that they can be non-destructive to existing data on the target disk. This is more relevant to workstation migration or refreshes than to a server OS deployment. Previous deployment strategies often required a full wipe of all data on the target disk. Another benefit of the WIM format is the efficiency of the file. With dynamic compression and single-instance storage, a WDS over-the-wire operating system deployment will take a fraction of the time of an old RIS deployment. An additional unattend file can be set for an individual image. The image unattend file uses the unattend.xml format for Windows Vista or Windows Server 2008 images, or the sysprep.inf format for earlier versions of Windows. With this file, specify the properties of each individual image deployment. Once again, we've prepared the XML file in advance. The file can streamline the installation of an image. As a result, a technician may not need to be present to complete the installation wizard. This unattend file can use the same verbiage as the server-level unattend file. Without using any tools outside of WDS, we're now ready to deploy an image over the wire to a new machine. This computer could have an existing operating system or could be bare metal without a formatted hard drive. If the computer is not already configured to PXE boot before it reaches the hard drive, then PXE will only work for a computer without an operating system. This process, of course, varies with the BIOS capabilities of different computers' firmware. Most modern BIOS and network chipsets are PXE capable. For legacy hardware that does not support PXE boot, we can create a boot CD which will boot the computer into Windows PE and locate the WDS server. So that we could access the PXE server even if the computer has an operating system, we've changed the boot order, putting the PXE server in front of the hard drive. The PXE device attempts to collect an IP address and then locates the existing PXE server via the DHCP server. Since we added a capture image to the boot image directory, we're prompted with a menu of available boot options. We'll start the Windows Server 2008 setup that we created using the ImageUnattend XML file to automate and customize the process. It will take some time just to load the installation files from the server. Microsoft has some other tools for operating system deployment beyond the built-in WDS role. Windows Deployment Services may not be, on its own, sufficient for some larger configuration management challenges. However, as Windows Server 2008 is released, new Microsoft products will expand on configuration and desktop deployment capabilities. Notably, System Center Configuration Manager will have a new operating system deployment pack designed for Windows Server 2008. Microsoft System Center, the new collection of products to help the IT department manage the infrastructure, will include and expand on the capabilities of Microsoft Systems Management Server version 3 and Microsoft Operations Manager. Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager 2007, or SCCM, drives IT productivity and efficiency by reducing manual tasks and enabling you to focus on high-value projects, maximize hardware and software investments, and empower end-user productivity with the right software at the right time. Configuration Manager contributes to a more effective IT department by enabling secure and scalable operating system and application deployment and desired configuration management, enhancing system security, and providing comprehensive asset management of servers, desktops, and mobile devices. With System Center solutions, IT professionals can quickly and easily perform complex tasks. For example, the solutions enable knowledge-driven IT management and rapid problem resolution by providing comprehensive support and diagnostic information for Windows Server and client operating systems, Active Directory services, and the Microsoft Office system. In addition, IT professionals can access products and tools that simplify customization tasks and help them to effortlessly find information about your IT infrastructure, making it easy to identify, catalog, and report on software assets throughout your organization. The System Center family integrates with the systems you already have in place, including Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. SCCM expands on the deployment capabilities of SMS version 3 and the operating system deployment pack. It leverages the WIM file format and Windows PE for efficient over-the-wire operating system deployment, upgrades, and refreshes. For organizations with greater deployment and management demands, SCCM allows for more granular capabilities and greater automation of operating system deployment. SCCM can utilize sophisticated task sequencing to migrate user data as well as install applications. Let's have a look at System Center's new user interface. and this demonstration will introduce the operating system deployment pack for the latest version of Systems Management Server. We'll create a capture media and use the new task sequencer to create more complex deployments, including adding applications, drivers, and operating system customizations to an installation. Finally, we'll look briefly at SCCM's new desired configuration management tool, which will help us identify client compliance to our environment expectations. System Center Configuration Manager, or SCCM, is the beta version of the next generation of Microsoft Systems Management Server, or SMS. It's designed to be easier to use and streamline the IT team's management requirements. Today, we'll use the Operating System Deployment Pack, or OSD, to build, maintain, and deploy images to our network. First, we'll need to capture the reference. An operating system deployment boot image is a Windows pre-installation environment 2.0 image. The boot image's node displays a list of the operating system deployment boot images that have been created and inserted into the SCCM OSD system. They are then distributed to management points. More so than WSD, the SMS architecture can be massively scalable, providing central control and standardization to global deployments. Place distribution servers close to the locations that they will be needed. Similar to WDS, OSD can capture a customized image specifically designed for our network with applications, drivers, and settings that we want all or a subset of our desktop and server machines to contain. We use the Task Sequence Media Wizard to create this as well as other bootable media that expand OSD features. After we've created an operating system, or OS package, we can use this wizard to create standalone media to install our OS image on machines that cannot connect to an SMS distribution point. The bootable media option would create a WinPE CD or USB drive that can be used to connect to the config MGR infrastructure. If a computer does not have PXE capabilities, we could use bootable media to connect to the infrastructure and still perform an over-the-wire installation, although it would be slightly higher touch. First, we would need to create the capture media. Then, the capture media will create a WIM image of the reference computer. A reference computer must be a member of a workgroup, not a domain. The administrator password must be blank. We need to have run sysprep on it. We need to choose a boot image to create the capture. This Windows PE source will be pulled from this image, and additional SMS tools will be added. Instead of booting to the capture media, the CD is run from within the operating system. The new task sequence tool will also enable a remote client to be used as a reference computer. Besides the other criteria, the reference computer needs to have the SMS client installed. We can create a software package from an MSI. We want to add the SMS client to all deployed operating systems. Since the client uses an MSI as an install source, we can add it to the SMS server as a definition file. In the Package Definition Wizard, locate the MSI or Package Definition file. SCCM ships with the SMS Advanced Client. The installation source can be either left in its current location or compressed and placed within the SMS source. We created the SMS source directory previously as a place to store and access the client. Now that we've created the package, we can add it to an operating system deployment. Although the new WIM installations are hardware independent, some hardware will still require specific drivers. We can collect all of the drivers that we need in SMS and package them with the appropriate installation media. The drivers must be collected from a network share that's available to the SMS console. We will add this modem driver. We could add several drivers at a time by placing them in the same share before running the wizard. SMS will automatically read the INF file and identify the manufacturer and model to which the driver applies. We can assign the driver to categories so that they are more easily located. Create a category called modem for this driver and all other modem drivers. Now we can bundle this driver with other drivers into a package. This package can be copied to a distribution point from which computers can access them. Drivers in the store are not applied to clients until they're packaged. When we create an image deployment, simply setting the auto-apply drivers and apply driver package actions in the task sequence will automatically push the appropriate drivers to computers as the operating system is deployed. Now that the package is complete, we need to push the package to distribution points. They're not usable by clients until they've been placed on distribution points. We can also add the drivers to boot images at this point. We can store multiple versions of device drivers, which is often necessary when a network is in the process of upgrading to a new driver, or if the latest driver needs to be tested. Boot images may also require drivers for network interfaces or drives. They can be added in the same way. An addition to the SCCM OSD interface is the task sequencer. The task sequencer allows the administrator to define complex processes. We will use this to create a new zero-touch installation. Once again, we need to identify the boot image to use. Use the boot image that matches the architecture of the machines to which we are applying the sequence. Specify the installation media. The installation media has already been imported into SCCM. As we've already demonstrated, the installation media contains several different images. we will create a task that installs the Enterprise Server Core, an installation that does not include the user interface. We can specify whether the installation will preserve existing data on the partition or will wipe the partition. Now we'll enter the product key and the type of server licensing we'll use. This task will also set the administrator password. Next, the sequence will enable the new image to join either a workgroup or domain. We'll join the Contoso domain. Place the new Active Directory object into the computer's organizational unit, or OU. We need to enter an account that has permission to join the domain. Now we can add the SMS client package to our installation. In the Installation Properties field, enter the SMS site ID that the new client will connect to. For in-place operating system upgrades or side-by-side migrations, the System Center OSD has extensive user state migration capabilities. Using the Microsoft User State Migration Tool, or USMT, we can store user state either locally or on a network share, and then replace it on a new computer. With a well-designed desktop environment, this means that non-destructive OS refreshes can be triggered from the SMS console without the loss of user data or settings. Powerful user and machine state migration capabilities lower the cost of fixing, maintaining, and upgrading desktop computers. However, since we're dealing with a server operating system today, it's unlikely that we will need to migrate user state. We do want to make sure that the computer applies mandatory software updates, however. We can add software packages such as line of business applications. These applications can be packaged just as we packaged the SMS client earlier. Configuration Manager 2007 has a new feature, Desired Configuration Management, that helps us to assess the compliance of computers. Many configurations can be monitored and reported upon, such as whether the correct Windows operating system version is installed and if it's configured appropriately. Desired Configuration Management properties can also check if prohibited applications are installed and if a client is in compliance with software updates and security settings. Configuration items define a discrete unit of configuration. These items can then be checked on a client and evaluated for compliance. SCCM supports three types of configuration items. An operating system item is a setting relating to the operating system, such as a version or particular configuration state. The configuration items can also search for a folder, registry key, or an item in the global assembly cache. An application configuration item can check whether an application is installed and confirm details about an application's configuration. Now that we've created the items, we can establish a configuration baseline. Each configuration baseline is a collection of configuration items. We can select the configuration items that we've created or imported. They're categorized by their baseline item type. First, we can choose our new Windows XP Service Pack 2 operating system item. Under Applications and General Baseline Items, we can check for acceptable firewall settings or the presence of a particular application. The last configuration item type is the Software Update item type. These track the software updates that use the Software Updates feature in Configuration Manager 2007. Unlike the other three types, software updates are not imported or configured in the desired Configuration Manager. Instead, they're available as the Software Update feature is enabled in the SCCM site. Configuration items can also be created for unwanted elements. For instance, the registry settings of a peer-to-peer or game application can be identified. Other configuration baselines can be included wholly within another baseline. Use this to create subsets of rules. For instance, kiosk computers need to follow the rules of all other workstations plus a more rigid check for security settings. Now we'll assign the Contoso Workstation Configuration Baseline to the collection for workstations. SCCM ships with a set of common collections. We can also create custom collections based on device attributes. We'll apply the Configuration Baseline to sub-collections as well. The baseline is not constantly checked in real time. Instead, it runs as a scheduled SMS task. We can specify how often the task runs. The configuration baseline has been successfully applied to the workstation collection. Now that we've looked into the available tools, we'll look at the guidance available to guide an operating system deployment. Deployment is a complex process that requires accuracy and focus. By collecting information from actual users, Microsoft has created best practices documentation and tools for operating system deployments. These best practices are collected in Microsoft Solution Accelerators. The new Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerator is based upon the new Business Desktop Deployment Solution Accelerator, BDD 2007, which is a kit of best practices and tools for deploying both Microsoft Windows and Microsoft Office. The real-world experience from Microsoft partners, Microsoft consulting services, and users in the field were drawn together to build WSD. It identifies the pain points and manual processes of a typical deployment and offers better ways of deploying. The overall goal of the BDD and the WSD is to decrease the cost of deployment. The best way to do this is to reduce touch and relieve the IT department of performing repetitive tasks during a deployment. WSD breaks the process down into several portions and enables you to identify a team for each portion. Each team can deal with a discrete task that's integrated with the rest of the project. In addition to a solution involving SCCM and WSD, the new WSD will also include a light touch process that does not require any additional infrastructure. The light touch process is one of the several options that the WSD and BDD Solution Accelerator offer to accommodate the needs of various organizations. Think of the three server deployment tools: Windows Deployment Services Role, Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerator, and the System Center Configuration Manager Operating System Deployment Pack as a set of tools from which we can select based on our needs. A smaller or less complex server installation would not want to put a lot of energy into automating their installation, while a large organization would be willing to invest upfront for a system that will help them quickly deploy and maintain server images. Anybody who's planning to deploy Windows Server 2008 will benefit from reading the documentation portion of the WSD, which will guide us through the necessary steps to deploy Windows Server 2008. All organizations deploying Windows Server 2003 or Windows Server 2008 will benefit from Windows Deployment Services and the updated Windows Automated Installation Kit. We can create a custom image very simply that suits our needs. With an unattend.xml file, we can easily cut down on a lot of the human labor required for installations. If we like, we can use WDS to deploy server images over the wire. If not, we can burn the image to DVDs or other media and install locally. Because WDS is included with Windows Server 2008, we can utilize a lot of tools without adding any further infrastructure to our network. If we have a larger installation, the Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerator Light Touch implementation applications, which make use of WDS and WAIK, will allow us to create and manage our server images from a central location and perform automated installations to bare metal servers over the wire. As we mentioned before, the WSD Solution Accelerator is very similar to the new BDD 2007 with Windows Vista support. However, it will add additional capabilities for servers. For instance, the Image Setup Wizard will ask us if we want to build a domain controller. If so, additional pages in the wizard will allow us to specify the domain, forest, and functional level of the DC. WSD will also be different from BDD as it will de-emphasize state migration and refreshes. Most server deployments do not require any user state migration, and servers are rarely refreshed. In place of these processes will be greater support for side-by-side migrations in which a new server replaces an older one, taking on the configuration and data of its predecessor. Still using the WDS role, an LTI deployment strategy can take advantage of multicasting, image management, and PXE booting, but requires no major infrastructure overhead. Once kicked off from the management console, the server installation can be completely automated, including necessary reboots, role additions, and network configuration. Very large organizations will want more centralized control over server deployments. We can deploy the new System Center Operating System Deployment Pack and the WSD Zero Touch implementation. The SCCM OSD is a heavily redesigned update to the SMS 2003 OSD. Out of the box, the OSD will have a more integrated process, including a task sequencer to perform more complex repeated tasks on new servers. In addition, SCCM puts centralized scheduling, reporting, and management at our disposal. We can keep track of our installation processes and images in real time. Going back to the WSD Solution Accelerator, we can employ the WSD Zero Touch implementation guidance and tools to further streamline server operating system deployment and image management. Look for the SCCM OSD to be released shortly after Windows Server 2008 itself is available. Using the WSD Light Touch implementation, we can now prepare an image for a deployment. In this demonstration, we'll create a multicast transmission, reducing demands that deployment place on our network. We'll then use the Windows System Image Mounter, an element of the Business Desktop Deployment and Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerators that we can use to further customize deployments by adding drivers and operating systems to an image. In the first session, we were able to quickly create and deploy an image. It did not take too much effort to get started. Now we're going to use more advanced elements of WDS and the Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerator. We're going to use multicasting to cut down network usage. Transmitting large OS images over the network is more efficient than ever before with WIM and WDS. However, it's still very demanding to push multi-gigabyte files across the network. By using the new multicast feature, we can further reduce the network cost of using WDS deployment. With multicasting, the server broadcasts the data at a single time and multiple clients receive the same data. If we're deploying to multiple clients, this can cut the network traffic to a fraction of the equivalent number of multiple narrowcast transmissions. Microsoft WDS offers two types of multicasting. The first, scheduled cast, works like a traditional multicast. The server waits until all the clients have connected and are waiting for the image, then it starts to send the information. This is a very efficient use of the network, but is somewhat labor-intensive. Each client computer must be connected, turned on, and queued. The other multicast option is autocast. A client can join an autocast at any time. The server will repeat the transmission as long as clients are connected. If the client starts receiving the image in the middle, or if it misses some portion of the image, it will remain connected and collect the additional parts of the file whenever the server restarts the transmission. This multicast protocol is completely new and features congestion control and flow control, meaning that it works well on production networks without interfering with existing network communication. A common fear of network administrators, justified with some multicast solutions, is that by turning them on, you flood the network with traffic when ironically you were actually trying to make communication more efficient. The WDS management tools allow administrators to monitor real-time transmission progress to clients, including removing clients from a transmission. The management tools also offer full logging and reporting, meaning that administrators will now have a method to log installations. As we saw in the first demonstration, the new Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 setup exclusively uses XML-based unattended setup answer files to enable remote and unattended installations. We used a simple answer file earlier, but now we will create one with the Image Manager, which is installed with the WAIK tool. The Image Manager is also part of the Business Desktop Deployment and Windows Server Deployment Solution Accelerators. Unattended installations enable you to configure Windows before it's installed on a destination computer. You can create customized versions of Windows according to your organization's needs. These settings will automatically run on the destination computer, which frees up your administrator's time. To start the unattend.xml file, it must be connected to a WIM file. We're going to use the complete operating system image called install.wim for this demonstration. When you've selected a WIM file to attach to the unattend.xml file, you may need to select which image you want to edit inside the WIM file. This is because each image inside a WIM file has to be edited separately with Image Manager. We receive a message notifying us that the image has not been mounted for editing. The Image Manager will need to create a catalog file which will be used each time the WIM file is opened. We've already created that file by previously opening this image. After the catalog file has been generated, the image we selected appears in the Windows Image pane. In previous releases of Windows, the setup and deployment process was automated by multiple answer files such as unattend.txt and winbomb.ini. These answer files enabled automation during a particular phase of setup and deployment. Because some unattended setup settings were valid during more than one pass, there was significant duplication between the files, particularly unattend.txt and sysprep.inf. In Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008, the unattended installation process uses a single answer file for all phases or configuration passes of setup and deployment. Unattended setup settings can be applied in one or more passes during Windows setup. The single unattended setup answer file with Windows Vista, unattend.xml, encompasses all of the functions of the previous answer files. With XML, you have the ability to automate increasing portions of the desktop engineering and deployment process. The component settings are applied in a consistent method, allowing tools such as Image Manager to create, manipulate, and validate complete unattended setup answer files. This has the potential to make installations faster, more manageable, and less error-prone. Next, we're going to create a distribution share. A distribution share is a set of folders that contain additional applications, device drivers, software updates, or other binaries. You can select drivers and applications from the distribution share to add to the answer file. During Windows setup, only the binaries listed in the answer file will be installed. A distribution share can be a local path or a network share and must be accessible to the system where Image Manager is installed. The OEM folder section allows you to install third-party drivers and applications during Windows setup. Also, you can install drivers not included with Windows. By using Image Manager, you can import new packages to a distribution share. These packages can then be added to the answer files. To add a package to a distribution share, you must use the Image Manager or CPI APIs. Let's create a new answer file. The information for the answer file is listed in the answer file pane. The answer file pane displays the Windows setup configuration passes, the settings to apply in each pass, and the packages to install. You can open and edit an existing answer file, validate the settings in an answer file against a WIM, or create a new answer file. Settings in an answer file are organized into two sections. First, the component section is all the component settings that you want to apply during Windows setup. Components are organized into different configuration passes: Windows PE, Offline Servicing, Generalize, Specialize, Audit System, Audit User, and OOBE System. Each configuration pass represents a different phase of Windows setup. Settings can be applied during one or more passes. If a setting can be applied in more than one configuration pass, you can choose the pass in which you want to apply the setting. The package section is used by Microsoft to distribute software updates, service packs, and language packs. Now we'll modify components associated with Windows Server 2008 image. Settings that can be modified are viewed in the Windows Image pane. The Windows Image pane displays the component settings and packages that exist on a WIM file catalog. The catalog file contains only the settings that exist in a specific image. Catalog files are usually less than 5 megabytes, whereas WIM files can be 1.5 gigabytes or more. Catalogs can be viewed by non-administrators, and multiple users can attach to a single catalog at the same time. WIM files can only be opened by administrators, and only one administrator can open a WIM file at a time. Because catalog files contain a snapshot of the settings within a WIM, if the settings in this WIM file change, the catalog must be recreated. This was the step that was performed when we first opened the WIM file. Now we're going to customize the installation of Internet Explorer. We want to select the component we want to alter in the Windows pane and then add it to the configuration pass. To make it easier, when you add a setting to a configuration pass, only the applicable passes are listed. In this case, we will add this setting to the specialized pass. During the specialized pass, computer-specific information for the image is created, such as the unique system identification. Once the setting is listed in the answer file, you can view the properties in the properties pane. At the top of the properties pane, the properties that were generated during the creation of the image are listed. You can't modify these properties. However, you can modify anything under the settings. We'll enter a home page that will be automatically added to the destination computer's Internet Explorer. Our organization wants each computer to have its website as the home page, so we'll enter contoso.com. Additionally, you can add favorites to the installation. The favorite settings will also be added to the specialized pass. The System Image Manager automatically creates a single favorite item entry for us to edit. If we wanted to create additional entries, we'd insert a list item here. Now we'll enter a name for the favorite. Contoso wants to add a link to the Windows Vista homepage in case users need to reference the website for technical issues because Windows Vista is a new operating system. So we'll call this favorite Windows Vista homepage and enter the Microsoft.com/Vista link. Now the Windows Vista homepage favorite will be included on all targeted computers. We will not be adding any links to the Quick Launch Toolbar. If we were going to add links to the Quick Launch Toolbar, we'd configure this section just like the favorite section. You can also customize the installation to install on a specific disk partition of the destination computer. The unattend.xml file can create a disk partition for any size you specify, provided it's large enough for the operating system. The disk partition setting will be applied during the Windows PE configuration pass. This pass is used to configure basic Windows setup options, including setting a product key and configuring a disk. We're going to create a disk partition with a size of 20 gigabytes. The size setting is in megabytes, so we'll enter 20,000. The order setting enables you to specify the creation order for multiple partitions. This partition will be the first partition. We can also specify the type of partition to create. A standard master boot record-based, or MBR, hard disk can contain up to 4 primary partitions or 3 primary partitions with 1 extended partition. The extended partition can include additional logical drives. A GUID partition table-based, or GPT, hard disk can contain up to 128 primary partitions. Windows Vista must be installed on either a primary or logical partition. Logical drives are similar to primary partitions. However, the number of logical drives that can exist on a drive is unlimited. A logical drive can be formatted and assigned a drive letter. A logical drive must be created inside an extended partition. Extended partitions are useful if you want to create more than 4 volumes. Only 1 extended partition can exist on a single disk. An EFI or extensible firmware partition is created only on MBR disk. The MSR or Microsoft Reserved partition type is required for GPT disks. For this example, we're going to create a primary disk partition. We saw some of these settings in the unattend.xml files that we applied in the first demonstration. WillWipeDisk specifies whether to erase all partitions on the hard disk before adding additional configurations to the disk. Setting this parameter to true will erase the disk, and false won't erase the disk. Generally, when we're deploying to a server, there's nothing on the disk to preserve. We want to erase the disk, so we'll set this value to true. We can now validate our answer file. By doing this, we verify that the selections given match the type of answers the file is looking for. It will not verify that the information is correct. For example, if you ask setup to make a partition that's 100 gigabytes, but you only have a disk that's 40 gigabytes, it will not mark that selection as incorrect. Any validation errors detected by Image Manager are reported in the Messages pane. It's important to note that when Image Manager validates the answer file, any setting that was added to the answer file that does not have a value configured for that setting will be reported as an error. Settings that do not have values are reported as errors to prevent you from accidentally overriding default values and from adding null settings to the answer file. We receive an error message because we didn't edit the quick link list setting, but we added it to the answer file. So we go into the answer file and delete each of the items that do not contain any override values. Now, when we validate the answer file again, we don't get any warnings or error messages. Finally, you'll want to save your answer file. We're going to save ours under our demo files and name the file unattend. Now that we've created our unattend.xml file, we'll see what it looks like. Because we saved it in our demo files folder, we just have to navigate to that folder and view the XML document. Like most any XML document, it can be viewed in Internet Explorer or edited with any text file editor. The home page we added is there, as is the new partition we created. The WSD Solution Accelerator will integrate the Windows System Image Manager with Windows Deployment Services to allow for more complex and rapid deployment. We can now apply the new unattend file to the proper image in WDS. We'll browse to the unattend file. This file should always be accessible to the WDS server. Now, any WDS installation that uses the Enterprise image will run this unattend file, and the final product will contain all of the settings we customized. That demonstration marks the completion of our session. With the introduction of Windows Server 2008, our deployment scenarios have changed dramatically. The WIM image format and tools like WAIK in ImageX mean that we can consolidate our custom images and edit them offline. They're smaller and easier to deploy over a network as well as simpler to automate. Windows Deployment Services is now a role that can be added to Windows Server 2008. It allows for the creation, management, and deployment of operating system images, including a PXE boot bare metal installation over a network. For even greater control over deployment and image management, the upcoming Operating System Deployment Feature Pack for SCCM gives the IT department centralized control over OS deployment. We can also track deployment with real-time reporting. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-310 for more information about books, courses, certification, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, MOOC, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can choose to become a fully certified system administrator, MCSA, or system engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, MCITP credentials provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you may find interesting. To help explain this further, here's Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions and, through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.